ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. You know, that word deceive implies much more than just false doctrine. It includes leading people into wrong living. John made it clear that truth and life go together. What we believe determines how we behave. And wrong doctrine and wrong living go hand in hand. So we need to be walking in the truth. If we love God, we're going to love the brethren. We need to walk in obedience. Why? Why do we have to do these things? Because of the deceivers that are out there who are trying to rip you off with their false doctrines. And if you're not following the truths of God found in the Word of God, you're going to be more prone to listen to the things that they're saying. They denied the incarnation, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, John's writing about the Gnostics that were growing during that period of time. They didn't believe in the incarnation. They thought that Jesus was just a spirit that hovered over the ground. And John's coming against that. And the warning is, those who believe that lie, that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, you know what they are? They're deceivers. And they have the spirit of the Antichrist working in them. You go, wow, that's really harsh. Yeah, but true. Again, John, even in 1 John, was dealing with Gnosticism. And he's dealing with that here. And back in chapter 2 of 1 John, verses 18 through 23, he gave a similar warning, denying the deity of Jesus, that he was God. They denied his incarnation. They denied his deity. Is that of the devil or what? Of course it is. Of course it is. And again, many Christians think that they're immune from spiritual deception. We're not. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. The word deception means you could be deceived. They're good at it. I remember years ago, remember fake fruit years ago, the plastic fruit? I mean, you could tell. It looked like plastic fruit, right? But look at plastic fruit today. I mean, it looks so real. Or you got fake plants, right? They look better than living plants, which probably should be a tip-off. But the same is true with false doctrine. They're very good. They're very passionate the way they bring it forth. And they give you all kinds of reasons. But it goes against what the scriptures are saying. And that's a problem. The enemy is very, very clever. And you can fall prey to those lies, those deceptions. I don't think you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your rewards and your walk is going to be off. I think of people that have done that and, wow, just the devastation that's happened because of it. But here, John is writing about a group of people who weren't even saved. These false teachers that were coming in were not saved. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, John said they went out from us because they were not of us. If they would have been of us, they would have remained with us. And he wasn't talking about they just moved to another church. He's talking about they left the church because of their false teaching that we wouldn't allow in here, and they went somewhere else to bring their false teaching to another group of people, and then another group of people, and then another group of people. The internet is great for that today. And think about the false doctrine that it's spreading across. It's incredible. And it's kind of sad. I get all kinds of emails and stuff, and This one was about, aliens, and I think aliens could play a role in the end times. I'm not saying it can't. But the way the letter was written from this man who was, supposedly authority on this, was that Christians are going to be deceived during the tribulation period. Well, first of all, we're not going to be here. Yeah, there are going to be Christians who are going to get saved. But you know what? I don't think those Christians are going to get deceived. Why? Because they're being put to death for their faith. And using unbiblical ideas to support what he was saying. We got to be careful. Deception is going to grow in the last days. We have to be aware of it. And we have to, like Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. Right? Nip it in the bud. Why can't we do that? Because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't really care. It's not about feelings. Oh, feelings. It's about the truth of God found in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, if you don't deal with it with that person, it shows you don't love them. Because you are allowing them to continue in the false doctrine, the false teaching that they're holding on to. Maybe that's why people get mad at me, because I take such a stand against these false teachings. It's a blessing and a curse, I guess. I don't know. In fact, in verse 9, that word transgresses speaks of going beyond a boundary. Wow. Think about that. What's the boundary? It's right here. This is the boundary. You go beyond this? Sorry, you're wrong. When you have to have other materials to explain the Bible, forget about it. Don't the Mormons do that? The Jehovah's Witnesses? Jehovah's Witnesses, they have their New World Translation. Mormons have their Book of Mormon and all the other garbage. They went beyond the boundary of God's Word. So, we got to be careful. We start right, and we need to finish right. We need to finish strong. Yeah, we start strong, and this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. It's a long-distance race, and we need to continue on. And you start getting towards the end. You're at that 26-mile mark. For me, that's when I hit the wall and thought I was going to die, but I had, 6.2 miles to go. And I'm thinking, man, I ran 20 miles. I can't stop now. Hey, I'm 62 years old. I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to forge on. I'm going to finish this race strong. That's what we need to do, guys. That's what we need to do. Don't give up. This is a race, long distance race, and it's a battle, and there's fatigue, and there's, it's tough. But press on. Don't give up. Look at verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, yes, we have to be careful with these false teachers. I know that some feel what John is saying here is if someone has these false doctrines, they claim to be a Christian, don't let them into your house, don't fellowship with them. I don't think that's the point. I think, hey, you warn them. They're going to continue on with it, then yeah, I don't think you'll let them in your house. But I think what John is saying here is that this woman had the church within her home. That's where they were gathering. And John is saying, don't let these false teachers come into the church and bring their destructive doctrines. Some people feel like if a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, don't even talk with them. Well, how do we witness? Or don't let them into your house. That's not the idea. Your house isn't a church. If you feel that's what God wants you to do, great. If some feel that, hey, I'm not even letting you in the house, that's between you and the Lord. But that's not the point that John is bringing forth here. This woman had her church, the church within her home. Don't allow the false teachers to come into the church and bring their false doctrine. We've dealt with this before, even here in our church. You don't allow it. You put a stop to it because it is dangerous. It's like cancer. You let it in, and before you know it, it's spreading throughout the body, and it will destroy it. And I hate to say it, it was close. There was a lot of division within this church a few years back because of some false teaching that was being brought in. And that's a big warning sign. When someone brings in false teaching, and they think it's of God and it's causing division, it's not of God. the church today needs to get back to the truths of God found in the Word of God. We don't do a Bible study and teach another book. That's a book club. You don't water down the Word of God because you want to be seeker-friendly. You teach the Word of God and trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to the individuals that aren't saved and give them the information that they need. When I first got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing. I'll tell you what, when Pastor Phil was teaching, I was like a sponge. And it wasn't because I was so brilliant. I know for a fact the Holy Spirit was showing me the things I needed to learn. And I was just like, wow, that's the Word of God. Look at that. And I still feel the same today. God's Word is living and powerful, and it changes our lives. We see a rise of liberalism in the church, but it didn't start a few years back. It started a long time ago. In fact, in the late 19th century, the rise of theological liberalism brought forth generations of Christian pastors, leaders, theologians, who denied many of the foundational truths of the Bible. 19th century. And listen to what they believed. They thought that Christianity had to reevaluate all its doctrines in the light of modern science, philosophy, and thinking. Isn't that what the church is doing today? That's what was happening in the 19th century. We didn't learn from it. And now we're doing the same thing. Well, we have to reevaluate these things. No, we don't. And God says what he means and means what he says. It's simple. And they rejected the idea that a doctrine was true simply because the Bible taught it. It had to be proved true by reason and experience. Okay, I'm going to use my mind to reason if this is okay. Fornication. Oh, I think that's okay. Right? That's the human mind. That's the heart of man. It's wicked. I can't trust the way, I can't make, you know, say what's right or wrong here. I have to take what God has said and believe it and apply it to my life. They didn't believe that the Bible was the inspired message from God. It was the work of men that were limited by their ignorance and superstitions of their time. Again, we hear that today. We are reaping what has been sown. And again, this hasn't happened over a short period of time. Just like our nation turning to socialism. This is not something that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. This has been going on for a number of years. And the same with the decline of the church. We've been watering down the message so much, not believing it. Now we see what has happened. Now, as we finish up this letter, John is going to comfort this woman with these words. Look at verse 12. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. So he's telling her, I want to see you again. Instead of just writing more words in a letter, I'd rather do a face-to-face talk with someone myself. As much as I do emails and messaging and things and even talking on the phone, I'd rather talk with a person face-to-face. I just like that better. And John speaks of this woman's sister's children, believers, and they send their greetings. So that's an awesome thing. I love this letter because you see the heart of John for people, his love for them. And I think it's to inspire us, love people like he did. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, have that love and that compassion for them. Now, as we move into 3 John, the third of the 5 books that John wrote. Again, he wrote this again 80 to 95 AD, and probably written from Ephesus. In our English Bibles, it's 14 verses in the Greek. It's really the shortest letter in the New Testament, shorter than 2 John, but not in our English Bibles. And in 2 John, we saw John writing to a godly woman and her family, warning of the false teachers from outside the church bringing in their destructive heresies. And here in 3 John, we see John writing to a godly man, Gaius, about his church. And warning of the false teachers like Diotrephes, who came from within the church. And speaking of the many truths of God, but yet he had no love. Kind of like the Pharisees. And John concludes the letter by saying to Gaius that he hopes to see him soon. So he wrote this short letter instead of a long one. And again, I could break this letter down simply. And again, I'll go through this as we go through the letter. But in verses 1 through 4, the encouraging of Gaius, the commending of Gaius in verses 5 through 8, speaking the truth without love, Diotrephes, speaking the truth in love, Demetrius, and the comfort of Gaius. So pick up 3 John verse 1. He writes, "To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." And I'll just stop there for a second. Again, he identifies the elder. He's, again, some 90 years old or so at this time. Words of wisdom he's imparting. And he's writing to Gaius, which, again, this is a common name. So we don't know which one, which Gaius this is in the scriptures, if it's any of them, really. In Acts chapter 19, we read of Gaius who accompanied Paul and was with Paul in Ephesus. Remember the story of people in Ephesus were getting saved. They weren't buying their idols anymore. And the United Idol Makers Union was upset because no one was buying their idols. And they caused a big ruckus and a big riot broke out. And Gaius was one of the men that was brought into the amphitheater because of what they did. Also, there was a Gaius in Derbe in Acts 20, verse 4. Romans 16, 23, Gaius is mentioned with a greeting. He's from Corinth. And most scholars don't believe it was any of these men, as I mentioned, but early tradition, and again, it's only early tradition, we don't know for sure, that this Gaius that John is writing about was sent by John to be the overseer of the church in Pergamos. And Pergamos, again, wasn't too far from where John wrote this letter in Ephesus. And he says, "To the beloved Gaius." It's amazing how much love these writers. Paul, over and over, he talked about loving all these people, right? I have a hard time remembering names. And his love is just, wow, it's impressive. And again, this love is based in what? It's based in truth, the Word of God. It was built upon Christ. And that's where our love towards others, to the brethren, is based in Christ. Now, yeah, for the unbelievers, do we love them? Absolutely. We want to love them into the kingdom of God. But for the believers, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Again, this is the encouragement that John is giving to Gaius. And how important it is to encourage each other in their walk with the Lord. I think that's a great thing to do, to encourage people. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've been encouraged by, not only my wife, but people here in the church, that just by the words that they say. Now, here's one of the problems. John talks about, "I pray you may prosper in all things and be in health." Well, praise the Lord, man. I'm going to be wealthy and healthy. This is going to be awesome. But I got diabetes. What went wrong? I don't have my Maserati. What went wrong? Nothing. John is not setting forth a doctrine of health, wealth, and prosperity, as some like to claim. When John says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health," he's given a salutation or a greeting, a kind of introduction that precedes the body of the letter. It literally means, prosper literally means to have a good journey. He's praying that Gaius would be blessed outwardly, inwardly, as he walked with the Lord. But godly men get sick. They're not rich. So this is not a health, wealth, and prosperity passage, not at all. In fact, this phrase was so common that sometimes it was condensed into only initials. And everyone knew what the writer meant just from the initials. And you thought LOL, laugh out loud, was something we came up with. They were writing initials back then just to open the letter. Just put the two initials there. There it is. You know what it means. Interesting. What about health? Well, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." What was the problem? Timothy had stomach issues. Remember, the water back then was had a lot of bacteria in it. And put it bluntly, you get Montezuma's revenge, you know? It's not a good thing. And what does Paul do? Paul says, add a little wine to the water. Why? Because it killed the bacteria. And it would help his stomach problem. Well, why didn't Paul just pray for him? I think he did. But it didn't help. God didn't heal him. And you go to, hey, okay, let's try some medicine here. Let's put some wine in there, and it'll help your stomach. Try this medicine out. What about our treasures? Well, are there Christians that are rich? Yes. Are there Christians that are poor? Yes. The issue isn't if you're rich or poor. The issue is, where is your heart? Is your heart focused on the wealth and prosperity that you're gaining? Or is it focused on the Lord and what he wants you to do with whatever you have? You see, that's really the idea. And I like what John says. John is rejoicing that wherever Gaius goes, he's leaving a witness behind. What a wonderful thing to do. I was watching TV and they had a commercial on because they were going to talk about Freddie Mercury from Queen, who died of AIDS years ago. And in the interview, the guy said, you know, what do you want to be remembered with after you die? He said, I don't care, I'm dead. Wow, that just broke my heart. When I die, I don't want people to remember anything except that my love for Jesus Christ. I want that to be a witness, but not just when I die. I also want them to see it when I live, that I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, with my entire being. I don't want to walk aimlessly through life. I look at people today, they don't even know where they're going. But I do. I'm on my way home. How long is the journey? I don't know. But I know where I'm going. And we need to, again, walk in the truth. Be consistent. One of the saddest things for me, I've talked to you about the blessing when I hear people are walking with the Lord. The saddest thing is when I hear of someone who is walking with the Lord and is not walking anymore and is just living a life of rebellion. And that is one of the saddest things when I hear that someone from this church has gone and departed, in a sense, from the faith. I don't know where they're at, if they left, if they've never saved, or they're just backslidden very badly. But that's a sad thing. Remember John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Yeah, absolutely. Look at verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. So John here in these verses is commending Gaius for his faithful walk in the ministry. You know, isn't it interesting how man gauges success and how God does? Man gauges success on how much money do you have? How many possessions? How many homes do you have? What kind of cars do you have? What kind of this? God doesn't do it that way. You know, how many times years ago I go to conferences and the first question people will say, how many people go to your church? And I've come to the conclusion, just the right number. It's out of my control, man. It's in God's hands. My desire is, how are people walking? That should be a great question. Are you growing? Are they growing? What are they being taught? Those are great questions, not how many people go to your church. You see, God just wants us to be faithful. Are we serving him? Are we isolating ourselves? Are we not doing anything? Are we, you know, just seat warmers? Or are we involved in the activities of the church? Are we serving? That's what God is looking for, faithfulness. Look at Jeremiah. You know, if you were to evaluate Jeremiah, if the professionals of today would look at his life, 40 years of ministry, 40 years, not one person saved. Failure in the world's eyes, right? Look, you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. No one got saved. What is wrong with you? You should have stopped long ago. God says, no, He is my faithful witness. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And that was Gaius. He was faithful in service and serving others, even strangers. Now, there was a problem. Back then, they had these itinerant preachers that would go house to house and share the gospel. And Gaius housed these people, and they were legit for the most part, but not all of them, obviously.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.